118, verses 1 through 2, and then picking up at 19 through 29. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. I will give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Let us hear his word this morning. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed, found it, and as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for your word that lights our path and guides our hearts. We thank you, O Lord, for the Palm Sunday that leads to the rest of the week, for the high of Christ's entry into Jerusalem, to the low of the betrayal and death, and the joy of the resurrection. We thank you all, O Lord. Be with us and listen as our hearts and minds seek to listen to you. In your name we pray. Amen. So it begins Holy Week, but it's 8 days, so it's a little more than a week. And we're at that transitional point where suddenly Jesus' ministry becomes the slow walk to the cross. It's that final moment as we make ready. It's a high point before the valley of the lows. For me, it was always a joyful day because we would race and grab palms, as many as you could after worship, making sure to leave the adults a few to take home with them. It was always fun to watch the older kids pull that fake papier-mâché and wire donkey down the middle of the aisle. It was great listening to the third through sixth grade choir have to sing Little Gray Donkey until it was me in those roles, and then suddenly it was not so fun. It turned and came way too quickly. And that's what today does as well. Today is the peak before we go down into the valley. It's a questionable day. Is it a triumphal entry? Is it a funeral procession? Is it both? As I sat reading the scripture over and over, I began thinking of some of the processions we see happen down Main Street. There's the joy and celebration on Memorial Day as all the various groups come down Main Street and head down to Town Hall for hot dogs. Yeah, I know. Hot dogs. Don't forget the hot dogs. But it also at the same time resembles those moments where we prepare to go up to the cemetery, where all the cars line up in the parking lot and slowly and steadily journey down. So often we refer to this as the triumphal entry, but it's really more the entry, because it is both a triumph that Christ is entering the city. The Messiah has come, and joyfully should we celebrate, but it's also a sad day, because it marks the beginning of the end. It's the start of one side of the bookmark. And that's today in an emotional nutshell. You can't separate today from the rest of the week. You can't separate today from what's going to happen on Thursday and Friday and the quiet of Saturday. It's hard. And then it gets harder as you realize that there is one man on the donkey who is holding the tension of this moment. As Jesus rides into the town, and as the hooves of the colt slowly step one more time closer, you can't help but wonder the heaviness that Jesus is carrying, the heaviness that sits with him as he gets closer, closer to that final dinner, to the time in the garden, to the time before the Sanhedrin, before Pilate and Herod. All of that lies ahead. And then we have the beautiful shout from the disciples, the messianic shout, declaring that a king has come. The king who comes in the name of the Lord has arrived. And yet that has scandalized the Pharisees, who, maybe it's a small group of them, maybe it's a larger group, but a group of the Pharisees want the disciples to stop. And as we look at this scripture and we realize all that's going on in it, all the emotion, what is the one thing that really stands out? It's the attempt to silence that declaration of what Christ is. Tell your disciples to be quiet. They're upsetting the order of things. Herod's going to hear. Herod's going to feel threatened. He's going to do something. The Romans are going to hear. They're going to do something. Just quietly come in and then quietly go out, Jesus. Just do it, please. Jesus has become an inconvenience for them. And yet he keeps on riding and keeps on coming. And he gives us this great image that even if the disciples were silent, the stones would cry out. And maybe you have a Jim Henson type of moment where you imagine a stone suddenly break out into song. Or maybe it's just me. But there is this amount where you can imagine what it would take for a stone to start crying out. What would it take for the stones to ring out? There's a storm that is coming. There's a wave that's washing over the world. And it's coming, and it cannot be stopped. When I think about the inevitability of what's happening here, how Christ is coming and is not going to be silenced, is not going to be stopped, but his plan, the plan, is going to happen. And as he gets closer, I think of a game my brother and I would try and play at the Outer Banks. You see, when a wave's coming, you sit there and you do this, and you let it hit you. And the goal is to stand there for a few minutes and see who can stand up to the most waves. And there are some days where nobody wins. And everybody loses. And somebody cracks a rib, somebody knocks a hip out, and suddenly I sound like I'm a lot older than I am. The fact of the matter is, there's this inevitability that the water is going to get there. It's going to get there. And so you're left with a choice. You can try and block the wave, or you can flow with it. Here we see Christ moving through. We see the disciples declaring that he has come. He is the King. He is the King who is promised. And God's plan is beginning. And yet the Pharisees are sitting there in the water, bracing themselves against that wave. Stop, Jesus. Tell him to be quiet. And what does Jesus say? The wave is coming. The plan is going to happen. You can flow with it, or you can get knocked over. There is no other way. And so as we come before all that is to come this week, as we sit here and prepare and make ready, I need to ask all of us if we will proclaim like the disciples all that God is, all that God is doing. Will we be part of that wave that washes over our world? Or will we be silent? Or will we try, like the Pharisees, to brace ourselves against that wave? Or will we surf with that water? Will we surf with God's plan? Will we do? Which will we do? Brothers and sisters, may we flow with God's Spirit.